Well, if you'd take your Bible to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55. This will be part two of what really matters in life. What really matters. And God wants us to ponder. And that's the first word here of Isaiah 55. Ho! That means stop, right? Ho, everyone that thirsteth. It's to get your attention and to stop. Do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for the Lord? Do you want to know him more? When you have some extra, when you have some time, are you wanting to go deeper with him? Are you wanting to spend time in his word? God is calling here in particular to his people, to the nation of Israel. And he's saying, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. We saw last week that the best things in life cannot be purchased with money. The best things in life cannot be purchased with money. For example, and this isn't top of the list, but you can't buy a good marriage. You can. It doesn't work. Maybe it'll appear that way for a while, but you can't buy a good marriage. Although, you know, it doesn't hurt to try, huh? As in some gifts, I suppose, right? But, you know, but you can't buy a good relationship, right? You can't buy a good relationship with your parents or your children or whatever the case. You can't. There's just some things you can't buy with money. In fact, the best things in life. And we talked last week about, for example, salvation. You can't buy your salvation. You can't just write a big enough check to just buy it. The fact of the matter is, it's without price. And the Bible says here, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. I think that's a key phrase right there. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, God says, you listen to me, you look to me, and I will satisfy, right? I will make you fat. I will make you that in a healthy way, right? Full, flourishing. And it says in verse 3, incline your ear and come near, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. In John chapter 4, there was a woman that Jesus met at a well there by the city of Sychar. And this woman came out. Jesus was actually on a journey. He was passing through. His disciples had gone into the city to buy some food. Jesus is sitting there alone on the well. This woman comes out of, we know her best as the woman of Samaria, but she comes out and she approaches the well to get water for herself. And Jesus asks the woman for a drink. And the woman, you know, says, you know, why are you talking with me? And you know, you're a Jew. Jews don't usually have dealings with us Samaritans and all of those things. It's in John chapter 4. But then Jesus says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. And so that intrigued her. And quite frankly, the process went further in their conversation until she came to trust Jesus as the Messiah. She came to recognize that Jesus was the promised one to come. And she accepted that living water. She drank that day of the living water. And she went back into the town and she said to all the people she knew, she said, come and see a man that told me all things that I've ever done. Is not he the Christ? Isn't he the Messiah? And lots of people got saved because of her testimony. And then a lot more people got saved because of hearing Jesus himself. Jesus stayed there for 2 days in Sychar of Samaria. Stayed there for 2 days, and a lot of people trusted him and got the living water. The living water. Do you have that living water? That's referring to salvation. And it's referring to literally the Holy Spirit that moves in, who is the well of water. The Holy Spirit, who is the well. And so there's an allusion to that here in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. And so the best things in life cannot be purchased with money. We need to remember that. What are we working for? We ought to make sure that we are balancing things in the right perspective. We can work so hard, and I probably did too much this past week with all that snow, and that's probably why I'm a little sick, because I weakened my immune system. But you know what? Sometimes we can get our focus wrong. Not necessarily saying I didn't have my focus right, but I just worked too hard. But anyway, but you know what? We can get our focus off in life. What is our goal? What are we really doing? What are we trying to accomplish? Are we really seeking to do the will of God? The best things in life cannot be purchased with money. And so that brings us to point number 2 in review. Often we invest our lives in that which carries little to no lasting value. We don't want to waste our lives. We want to do that which is worthwhile. Okay, so we're gonna cruise along, because I wanted to get along here a little farther. So number 3, today is the day to draw near to God. Today is the day to draw near to God. Notice verse 6 of your passage here. Verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Did you know that there are opportunities that we can have today that on another day we won't have? I mean, really? Now, I mean, we can think about that in terms of our age, you know. I mean, obviously our life is only so long, and it's probably shorter than we think. None of us know how long we have. And so there's opportunities that we have today that we may not have tomorrow or a few tomorrows from now. But you know what? In terms of our walk with Christ, you know, the day to seek God is in your youth. I want my children to seek the Lord, whether it's Michael. I want him to seek the Lord in his youth at 4 years of age. And he is. And I want Alec to seek the Lord at 8 years of age, and Mason at 9. That's important, because I want them to desire the Lord themselves. I don't want them to live a unprofitable youth, right? They would be far, far ahead if they seek God in their youth and don't waste their life. And so whether it's in our teen years, whether it's in our young adulthood, today is the day to draw near to God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, verse 6 says. Call ye upon him while he is near. And then verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So today is the day to draw near to God. We'll pause for prayer here. Lord, I do pray that you would help us, that you would guide in the preaching of your word, and that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher. Lord, strengthen me, strengthen my voice, help me to say what you would desire, and encourage each of us in our lives, in our walk with you, Lord. I know that there's growth needed in every one of our lives. We are frail. We are so easily wander from the right path. And Lord, we need your strength and your help. And I thank you that you are so willing to give it. And we are willing to take. Lord, please provide. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God says, if you draw near to me, in James chapter 4, I will draw near to you. Wow. If you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And so we can seek the Lord. God wants a close fellowship with you. He really does. It's God that wants that. God is seeking. That brings us to number 4. We want to see in this passage, never forget, God's ways are infinitely higher than our ways. Please look at verse 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, let's just think for a moment. God's ways are not my ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. You know, I can think of something, you know, real practical, even here in our lives. We can, you know, sometimes the direction God leads us, we're like, well, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like I would have chosen that, right? Or it's like, it's a little off the beaten path, you know, the direction God may lead you. His ways are not your ways, like Abraham. Abraham was called to leave his family, to leave his homeland, and to go out unto a place that God would show him. He went out not knowing where he went. He left home, he said goodbye to his family, and they said, where are you going? He says, I don't know. God said he'd direct my way, so bye, I'm heading out. And Abram literally went out not knowing, the scripture says, in those very words, not knowing whither he went. But he was following God. You know, God's way is different than our way. You know, even in the work of the ministry here, it puzzles me sometimes why we wouldn't see 20 or 40 or whatever people here, right, who want to learn the Word of God, who want to follow the Lord Jesus. But you know what? I'm only one man. God's God, not me. And you know what? I need to be faithful with what God called me to do. And if there's a lot or a little here, you know what? We're going to preach the Word. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to seek to do his will. And you know what? God has sustained this work. It is amazing. I am serious. God has provided. God has sustained. I'll tell you what, the bills have been paid for year after year, for month after month, and sometimes with a very small gathering. God's provided. And I'm not just talking nobody went without food. I mean, no, that's for sure. Nobody went without food. But I'm talking about bills paid. I'm talking about God taking care. I'm talking about we support mission work around the world. God's done that. I'm telling you, there's people out of, you could almost say thin air, but it's not thin air. They're people. They have names. They're out there. They love Jesus. They fight with challenges in their lives, but God put it on their heart. There's a gentleman for years now, and he's moved actually several times, and he's an older gentleman, he and his wife, and they have sent money weekly, almost without fail. There may be a time when he was sick or something, but he just sends it weekly. Every week, there's a check in the mail for missions. He's done that for years. He never attended church. I think he attended church once here. Once, like he came for a visit. He has sent funds for missions, and it's, I'm not going to say it's a mountain of money. I'm not going to say it's just a little piddly little bit either, but he's been consistent. Wow. Could I do that? I mean, that's not, what I'm saying is that's not me. That's not, you know, that's God. God providing that, you know, over $600 a month is going out into missions as a whole of us giving. You know, God does those things. And so we're thinking here at this time about my thoughts are not the same as God. God works differently. And we can trust him. And that's where it comes down to. We can trust him. We can trust him to provide. He has and he will. And we need to keep following him. Follow his direction. God provides for where God leads. God provides. Where God leads, God provides. Never forget, God's ways are infinitely higher than our ways. We must trust him. You see, the Christian life is not a walk by sight. It's not a walk by sight. It's not, okay, I can see this way is better, let's go that way. Oh, I see, there's a little change over here, this looks like a better opportunity, let's go that way. The Christian life isn't a walk by sight. It's a walk by faith. And what do we mean by that? Trusting God and trusting what his word says. In other words, sometimes we make decisions that, you know, perhaps financially or in other ways, it's like, well, this isn't what I would choose. I mean, this seems like not the best choice, but this is what I believe is right based on what the Bible teaches. And you know what? God blesses that. He really does. He blesses that. And remember, his ways are higher. I want to show you a couple of verses. First of all, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 7. The Bible says simply, it's summarizing in the midst of talking about us one day having a new body and being in the presence of God. But it says right now, verse 7, for we walk, read it with me, by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And I want you to just notice back to chapter 4 there and verse 18. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, walking by faith is about not just making our decisions based on what we can see and based on the temporal things, right? Of how I can profit and gain and do well and this looks comfortable. You know, that's not the basis of which we should have our decision making done. But we trust God. What do you want me to do, Lord? And choosing the eternal. What does God want me to do? And what will make a bigger difference for heaven's sake, right? For the souls of men, for the lives of others. You know what? We've had this as our theme this year. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Charles Studd was a successful cricket player, which is a sport. And he was really good at it. He did well. And you know what? He felt led of the Lord to give all that up for the Lord. And he actually, I mean, he wanted to honor the Lord. In fact, he refused to play on Sunday. He refused to play cricket on Sunday because a lot of the games met on Sunday. And because he felt that was the Lord's day and he wanted to honor God. And so that became an issue in his career. And there was another time in Mr. Studd's life that he was left a large inheritance from, I forget now who it was, whether it was his dad or some other relative, but he was left a sizable inheritance. And he gave, I believe, I know it's a vast majority, it may have been all, he gave it to the Lord's work. He some of it was to different organizations, different mission work in China, to the Salvation Army, which was more gospel-based back then. And he gave those things sacrificially to the Lord. You see, he was looking at the things that were eternal, the things that were unseen, and not at the temporal. He was giving his life for the Lord. And so we need to recognize that God's way is higher than our way. We need to trust him. God has an important purpose for our lives. Are we willing to submit ourselves to his way, even though we don't understand? Let's go back over here to Isaiah now. And verse 10, Isaiah 55 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be." So in other words, God says here, just like the rain comes and waters the earth, and the snow comes and waters the earth, so my word goes out into the earth. And it goes out of my mouth, it says in verse 11, and it shall not return unto me void. In other words, God says, I send the rain out, and it goes and sort of disappears into oblivion, but he says it accomplishes what I want. It accomplishes what I want. So my word goes out of my mouth, and it will not return unto me void. In other words, it will be effective. God is saying, my word will accomplish what I sent it to do. So, middle of verse 11, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word. Are you living according to God's word? Are you living God's word? Number five here, you will never go wrong living out the Word of God. You will never go wrong. You know, if we align ourselves with what God is doing, if we plant seeds of the Word of God, you know what? We're planting eternal seeds. We're planting things that will make a difference. You know what? We've felt led of the Lord to purchase 300 calendars again this year, right? And why? For the purpose of those calendars, we have scripture on there. There's the gospel on the back, how to be saved, and those things. And that's for the purpose of us spreading the word of God and planting seeds. Hopefully a calendar will find its place in someone's home and be posted up there and be seen, not just for a moment, but, you know, it'll be there. Maybe in June when they're going through something and they look at the calendar and they see the verse, and I don't know what verse is on June's this coming year, but when they see the Word of God, God's Word is eternal, it's powerful. You can't have the wrong scripture. God can work. It can accomplish something. Those are seeds planted. Imagine, you know, farmers right now are trying to get the harvest in, right? They're working feverishly. Or wish they could be out there working feverishly to get the harvest in. They're sitting at home concerned about it. But you know what? They know what's out there, right? They know what they planted. That's why, you know, on a field where they planted corn, they're expecting to go out there and find corn, right? Because that's what they planted. Now, they can see it with their eyes, too. But you know what? in your life, can I ask you, in the spring of your life, as in the springtime, when you plant, we plant every day of our life. We plant seeds. We go on our way and we plant seeds, whether we're at work, whether it's a holiday, whether we're just hanging out and it's we're having some time off. Whatever the case, we're planting seeds. What are we planting? Because seeds sprout and seeds bring forth after the same kind, right? We plant the Word of God. We spend time with God daily. We memorize the Scriptures. We spend time in prayer. You know what? Those seeds planted in our own life are going to bring forth fruit. It's going to help us to have a pure mind. It's going to help us to know the will of God. It's going to help us to make wise decisions in our life that are patterned after God's counsel instead of the world's wisdom. And you know what? We're going to make, that's going to help us. Those seeds planted will affect us for the better. But we can also plant bad seeds in our life. Please go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians and chapter 6. Galatians, right before the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And verse 7, Galatians 6 and verse 7. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, another way of saying that is don't be tricked, right? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth or planteth, that shall he also reap or harvest. So whatever we plant, we're going to harvest. God says, don't be fooled about this. What you plant, you will harvest. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. That's not good. But he that soweth to the Spirit, it's capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Completely the opposite of corruption, right? Corruption is something that decays and it's junk and you throw it away. Something that's everlasting, life everlasting, it's regenerating, it's fresh, it's new, it's life-giving. And so the contrast is great. Different seeds, completely different results. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Here's the part about not being deceived, right? Sometimes we can become weary in well-doing. We say, oh, I tried that. I've tried to do right. It doesn't work. It's just, you know, keep at it. Keep faithful. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep walking with God. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, God wants us to grab a hold of this principle of sowing and reaping, of planting and harvest. What we want to harvest, we should consider. What do I want to harvest in my life? What do I want my life to accomplish? Well, if we're seeking to accomplish good things, the will of God, then we need to say, okay, what seeds need to be planted to get that harvest, right? The farmers, as they plan for next season, they're gonna say, okay, what do we want to harvest? Well, they're not gonna say, you know, well, let's plant. They just plant random stuff, and then at the harvest time, they're like, I wonder what's gonna grow in this field, you know, and I wonder what header we should put on because I don't know what we grew. What did we plant, right? No, there's more brain involved in that, right? I mean, you know what you want to harvest, and so that's what you plant. Well, spiritually in our lives, daily, what are we wanting to harvest? That's what we need to be planting. Are we walking with God? And so here we are, Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So this is the description of a blessed life and of joy and the blessing of God. Because God will accomplish his word. And so the point five, you will never go wrong living out the word of God. And then we come to verse 13, which gives us an illustration. It says a contrast illustration. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, I have these different illustrations mentioned here on this slide in picture form. So we have the thorn and the fir tree contrasted. Here we have a thorn and a fir tree. All right, the fir tree is in the evergreen family. It's always green. It's a picture of faithfulness, of life through thick and thin. The thorn, of course, in contrast. So God says, instead of the thorn, you're going to be like the fir tree. And then we have over here the briar and the myrtle tree. The myrtle tree is beautiful. Beautiful tree. The thorn, or the briar, I should say, is of course, something really not desirable. And so the Bible says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Are you going to live for Jesus? The title of this lesson was, What Really Matters in Life? What really matters in life? Are you going to be the myrtle fir with beautiful, you know, green, flourishing, living for Jesus? Or are you going to be the prickly, ugly briar and thorn bush, right? That's what God is saying here in contrast. Are we going to follow the Lord? It started off with, stop, everyone who thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come and buy the best things in life. Cannot be purchased with money. And so, I had written down this statement in closing here. The Christian life is not about choosing the path of least resistance, but about doing what is right, regardless of the resistance. The Christian life is not about choosing the path of least resistance, but about doing what is right, regardless of the resistance. Are you going to live for Jesus? Are you going to trust him in your life? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the things we could be challenged in this morning. I thank you for how you provide and how you work, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And Lord, it is your power that we need. It's your power in our life that we need for us to do your will, for us to walk with you. I pray that you'd help each one of us gathered here to have a profitable week of doing your will, a week where we're planting seeds from one day to the next, seeds that will bring forth fruit in the days ahead, in our own life, in the lives of those we touch. Lord, I pray that you would work. Give us wisdom. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Thank you that he is the one who directs our steps and that we can trust his leadership. I pray that you'd help us to seek his leadership and to follow it. Bless our time together in fellowship today, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen.